Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
Name any word in less than a second. I will tell you how many letters are in it. But I cannot do anything mechanically. I don't even know how to put a game together for three-year-olds.
And the Bulldog.
Fool me once. Shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
One of those aforementioned, those referenced three-year-olds is on his way to the homecoming dance coming up. So that was a while ago. Homecoming tickets were purchased. Anyway, when we last spoke, and you know, we're kind of wide open here, just talking about the Ravens loss, Baltimore, Kansas City. I mean, it's pretty wide open. Are you afraid of anything? 803-0550 is the number. Should we talk about that actually before I get sideways here? Not that far sideways, but just sort of on Allen and different things. Like, is there a best result, Baltimore, Kansas City? This, I think, is maybe the number one topic today for Bills fans would be this. Who is it better to have lose? Chiefs?
I think the Chiefs. I think, well, no. Which division looks stronger? I think the AFC West. Burrow's hurt. How much do you believe in Pittsburgh? That depends. I mean, they're 2-1. But I'd have to really look at at each team's schedule running through, and I have not done that. And I think maybe if you want to really answer this question with all the information, maybe you should do that too, but I haven't done it yet. I know we've run through it different days, but I just don't have it memorized.
Pittsburgh is going to Pittsburgh again, I think.
Sure. All right.
Minnesota in Dublin this Sunday morning. Bye week. Browns, Bengals.
I think the Chiefs will have a harder time winning their division. I want to say win or lose this game. Then Baltimore will have winning their division, win or lose this game. They have the same record right now, right? They're both 1-2. I think there's more competition in the AFC West than there is in the AFC North. It's not a blowout, but the Burrow injury really impacts that.
If not for that,
I think it might be close to a push. I don't know that I would be able to make this point, but I think right now, I think it's at least right now to make the point. Mm-hmm. So I think if you agree with that, if you think KC is going to, I know they're a bigger boogeyman for us than the Ravens have been. But there's also the thing that like the Ravens are, seems a tougher matchup for the Bills than the Chiefs, even though the Bills beat the Ravens. It seems a little backwards. I know, but a lot of sales been saying that for years. I think that you'd rather play the matchup game that favors the Bills versus the Chiefs more than it does Ravens, even though they keep losing them in the playoffs. But if you think the Chiefs are going to have a harder time, win or lose, they get to 2-2 this week. They're still going to be looking up at the Chargers. The Broncos could be tied with them. And I'm going to leave the Raiders by the side of the road for now. But those other two teams, I think, make it likely that the Chiefs will have a harder time winning the division than Baltimore. If Baltimore falls to 1-3, I still think they're going to win. They'll probably still be the favorite to win that
division. I think so.
So
I'm looking right now. I know they're the favorite today.
Right. I would think that even if they lose another game, just because of the state of things, I think I want. What do I want? I think I want the Chiefs to win. I think it's better if the Chiefs win. I'm more worried about Baltimore. They've done this before. Like they were they not 1-2 last year? Even Baltimore, they had a weird loss at home to the when they saw the Bills.
They lost to the Raiders.
Yeah,
at home.
Anyway, I just feel like
and then the Browns.
They could get off the mat more quickly from 1-3, and so
they were 0-2 last year.
Okay.
They lost in Kansas City in the opener.
Right.
And then they lost to the Raiders at home.
All right.
They won in Dallas, and then they blasted us.
Blasted the Bills. So I still am more respectful of the Ravens. So I think I'd rather ding them and let the Chiefs get to 500. I reserve the right to change my mind the more things I read and hear as the week goes by. But sitting here today, I'm reasonably confident that's where I'm going to land. I even, within talking here for 3 minutes, I couldn't even keep it straight because they're both so good.
I don't know.
I don't think it's real easy either way, but if I got to decide right now, I think go Chiefs.
If the is as ordinary as Kansas City has looked, I think if the Ravens actually win in Kansas City, they're going to feel like they have felt Baltimore.
Right.
I think most people think the Bills and Ravens are close to equivalent. The standings will tell an important story, home field and a bye week maybe and all of that. I think maybe last night touches that up a little bit because the Ravens defense is really hurting and the Lions just rolled through them pretty much all night. And that isn't really the narrative with Baltimore. Like last year, their pass defense was bad, but they got it right. But they've got pretty big injuries and they could not hold up last night to Detroit. So that might make you think there's more separation there, despite what week one looked like. I mean, every week is different. I think if the Ravens win in Kansas City, the story is the Chiefs and whether it's over. I mean, they're a slight underdog. It's not like they're a huge underdog or anything like that. But I think if the Ravens win, almost no matter what, your shouty shows are like, is it over for Kansas City?
Because that's already happening now, kind of.
It's already happening, and they go Jacksonville, Detroit. Jacksonville away. I mean, it's sort of the equivalent of the Giants game, a night road game against a lesser team. Then Detroit at home, Vegas, Washington at home. Then they come here. How many losses can you afford?
Yeah.
Six?
They're also, they're with that schedule, that's why I said like I'd want to put that into the blender here as I'm trying to concoct, you know, my scenario here. There's maybe another loss, and with that schedule, you feel like they could get buried. There's a point to be made here that I left out, and that is that the Bills already have the head-to-head on Baltimore because they've beaten them. And as down as Kansas City looks, If they were to win this game and then win until they get to the Bills, I'm gonna want to beat them. The game's here, but I don't have that in my pocket yet, right? So Baltimore, because of that, is by a half a game less of a threat right now because I have them and I head to head. If we tie, I got you. I don't have that on the Chiefs yet, and they can still get it on me. So maybe that pushes it to the Baltimore side.
That's right.
Like get Baltimore the win because if all they do is catch up to me and never actually pass me, I've got them. Whereas I do not have that advantage on Kansas City yet. So maybe them getting dinged with a third loss is the better scenario because who knows what's going to happen when they come here in week 9.
I think that's right, and I think there is a greater chance that the Chiefs just can't get there than there is for the Ravens. I'd have a very tough time imagining Baltimore missing the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really all that matters. You know, like if the Ravens get a wild card and go to Indianapolis or something, okay, like who would you pick? Like that, it's hard for me to imagine the Ravens miss. That's with their schedule in mind, too. That's the Burrow injury. Do they even split with the Steelers? Like, that's probably the least that they would do. Another Browns game at Miami. They're home for a month after Sunday. Houston, Rams, bye week, Bears. Jets are in here. Patriots at home. Hard for me to imagine the Ravens lose seven games. Even that could do it. That could still be enough.
Yeah.
But 10-7, I could see the Chiefs getting to seven losses. Detroit, well, Baltimore.
Right.
Detroit, Bills, at Denver, Colts, Chargers, Denver again.
The Charger game is in Kansas City. That was a yes. LA home game that yes. was played in Brazil. Okay.
December.
Clarify, make sure.
Yeah. I can see them losing seven.
Yeah.
That's, you know, LA wins the West. Then you've got Denver, if they can earn a split there, the Colt game, the Charger game, the Bills game. Like, it just feels, I think the tensions are high there.
Yeah.
And maybe they're in Baltimore, too. Last night, hurt. That's a very good team that beat them.
Right. I don't think there's any, I mean, there's, I mean, we'd be doing what we do. We'd be picking it apart, and just like we always do. But, yeah, that is maybe the story outside of, you know, the Ravens and Derrick Henry fumbling again and their inability to score from the 1 yard line with that backfield is Detroit's back. You know, who did they punch up on last week?
Bears.
Right. Okay, great. Right. They look pretty meek in week one, and okay, they just cruised against not a team at their level or supposed level. And then last night they went in there and they just put the brass knuckles on. I mean, that was really impressive. And I feel like they're back to whatever level they've been at last night sort of gets you to, okay, they're still that team. The coordinator's left. Okay, sure. But they're still that team. Seven sacks on that offense is borderline incredible to me.
How many games ago is Josh Allen being sacked? A total of seven times. I mean, that's many games ago.
Right. So, yeah, I think my process was flawed at inception here. I should have thought about the tiebreaker the Bills already have on Baltimore before I rushed to, you know, Kansas City and all that. That's a pretty big, that's maybe the biggest piece is that I have an advantage on them if we end up with 13 wins each.
Here's Joe with us. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man. Thank you.
So you guys were discussing, like, who do you think it would be, who's it better for us to lose, the Chiefs or the Ravens? I would definitely say it's probably better for the Ravens to win. I definitely agree with you. Even if they win or lose, the Ravens are still going to win the AFC North. Like, Pittsburgh, you know, they always fall apart in the second half. But, like, honestly, even, like, just so far, they haven't looked as good as I thought they would be. So they might be falling apart early. And then, you know, the Bengals without Joe Burrow, forget about it. And then, you know, the Chiefs, like, they didn't look good last year, and they were somehow winning these one-score games. And, like, this year, they still look terrible. I mean, they look a little worse. And, you know, luckily they're not winning, except for, the, you know, this past Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you think about it, like, the Ravens are already three games behind the Bills. It is extremely unlikely that they could take the one seed because they would have to win out, and we have to lose three games. Like, who are we losing to on our schedule three times? Like, if they lose again, forget about it. Then they're four games behind us. There's no way they pass us in that case. So I think they're going to suck. So if they win, it really doesn't matter. I don't think they're going to win their division. I think it'd be better for us for the Ravens to win. That would put the nail in the Ravens' one seed coffin. Like, no way. They're done.
If they lose?
Yeah, if they lose. That's
okay. Okay. So we're on Kansas City.
Yeah, I think it's better if Kansas City wins.
Okay. I think maybe he turned the whole way around during the conversation.
I did, just like I did. I want all things. I want all the things. It's real. I think what we learned here between the caller and myself, sorry if all of this seemed inept, it's really close. I mean, I think there's a compelling case to be made on both sides of that.
Here's another way of looking at it. Why do we follow sports? Why do we love it? In theory, it makes us happy. We like the joy of, you know, the result we want. By far, Bills fans would rather see Patrick Mahomes lose than the Ravens. Bills fans can stick their chests out when it comes to Baltimore, including week one.
Yeah.
Like, all right, you know, the standings are the standings. Let's see you win next time, Baltimore, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, their reputation now is losing the big ones, even maybe more than the Bills is. It's close. They're the same at worst for the Bills. They're the same. So, you know, watching, isn't it super rich when you're a fan of a team to, you know, watch a home team lose, another home team lose? Like, that's the best. Watching Kansas City lose at home to anybody, it's rare, but it feels great. Tastes great. Maybe did that not happen when they lost to Philadelphia in week two? Wasn't there like sort of a,
yeah,
you know, yep, a satisfaction, yep, with that?
Yep.
And it's still Baltimore winning, but I don't think, like the caller sort of said, I don't think you really have to worry about the Ravens, at least for now, in the standings. You said it too.
Yeah.
Kansas City is the one because Kansas City still gets to play you. And if they get right.
Right. Right. And they presumably will have, I would expect, both Worthy and Rice. We'll see what else happens between now and then. It's still a ways off. But they could be a very different looking offensive team.
By week nine. That's
by week nine. Right. So, and far be as rocky as it looks for them right now, I don't want to be sitting here assuming wins over a team of that caliber. That is capable of what they've been capable of. You know, and again, that can change if they look lousy again for another week or two. That will get maybe less appropriate to point out. But for right now, it's still so early. Yeah. It's so close. It last night was an example of this to me. Like, what are we here for, right? We're here for what? We're here for our gambling parlays. We're here for our fantasy football.
Two.
We're here for fun. Enjoyment. And I'm getting texts from my friends last night. This game is incredible. You know, and it was. You got you know, big plays, great plays, and the result that I think, you know, most of us wanted. Because that's an NFC team on the other side of Baltimore last night. So, of course, you know, there's no harm in the Lions winning the game. You're rooting for that harder. You know, it's easier to see where, because there's no gyrations like we just spent 20 minutes going through on the Ravens and the Chiefs. Like, who do I want to win? It's easy. NFC team, go Lions. And, you know, they got there. And that scored very highly, that game.
Yes. Here is Ken next. Hi, Ken.
Hi, guys. So I was kind of battling back and forth between the two. At first, I was thinking Baltimore because, let's see, maybe we pair up. I think they're the scarier one usually that we pair up against because of the dual threat. Then I started thinking probably Kansas City I'd rather see lose. And the reason being is different from what you guys are giving. I see that, you know, shortly after they're going to get Rashid Rice back, Worthy could come back. I think I'd like to have that cushion now because I could see them making a run here if they start getting the deep threats and their wide receiving and their passing game going. And our secondary is a little weaker, so I don't like that matchup as much, and they seem to be able to pull it out when they need to, when they get their key players back. Right now they're just relying so much on Kelce, and he's just not the same guy. On the other hand, too, I'm also thinking Baltimore. We've got the tie lead, but also Henry. He's not playing himself. Three fumbles in a row, that's not him. Does that play on his psyche? And as the season goes on, with the wear, the tear, the age, kind of a blueprint by Detroit, maybe how you want to guard him, do we see them start being more easily to defend against Henry? Does it get into him so that he doesn't want to fumble the ball, so he doesn't run as hard, or he tries to protect the ball so much more that he isn't as free to maneuver like he likes to? So all those factors in there, I think I'm going to lean towards Kansas City.
Okay. Thanks, Ken. I want to talk – we can talk about the wide receivers Chiefs point too, but you mentioned earlier watching Derrick Henry's reaction to his lost fumble. What's going on in that guy's head? Like, does he – this is a leap, but does he sort of sense that he's not Derrick Henry? Like, he never fumbled. He's fumbled in three straight games, and two were critical – lost fumbles. Ravens recovered the one in Cleveland.
Deep in his own territory, fourth quarter both times. Right.
Yeah. So what is that reaction? Like, you can't really blame anybody else for that. You know, he's not mad at his quarterback or his line, right?
Right. Like that's play not a caller play. Or anything. Right. It's like, him. Right.
He's just sort of freaking out that that just happened. He sort of slams his helmet and falls back onto the bench.
Awkwardly, in a way that a man my age would hurt himself if I threw myself onto a piece of furniture that way. Like it was just very, he seemed really out of sorts. More than just mad. Right, the helmet slam is me. You see that, like that, the way he flung himself on the bench. He almost missed the bench, is what happened there. I think it was very, very strange.
Did he come back in the game? So his snap percentage for the game was 49%. I mean, they used Justice Hill on third downs, and if I'm a Ravens fan, I'm pissed about Keaton Mitchell because he doesn't dress now. He's a dynamic running back, showed it in the preseason, showed it in the league before he got hurt. And John Harbaugh got a question about him a week or two ago, and he said, look, we can't really dress him because we got guys above him, and when he's on the field, everybody knows what's coming. Here's a different way of looking at it. How about put your best players on the field? I mean, Justice Hill, no offense. Or maybe offense, actually. Mm-hmm. Maybe offense. Mm-hmm. The other guy's great. What do I know? But, you know, that's just sort of a weird, twisted kind of analysis, I think, is like, well, no, he's too good. Or he didn't say that. It's just like, it's too much of a tell what we're going to run. How about come up with something else then? How about a new idea? So it doesn't have to be that way. Can you imagine a coach saying that? Like, no, we can't play this guy because teams will know what that means. Do they have to? That's bad. 49%, Henry. And he might have taken a snap or two after that fumble, but he's not on the field for their comeback effort. Like, they're down, what? They're down 10 after that. The Lions get a field goal after the fumble, maybe. And now it's a two-score game. And, you know, it's no, they go up 7. They're up 4 at the time of the fumble. They go up 7.
They get a field goal there, right. And then they get another score late.
I don't see Derrick Henry's name in the play-by-play after the fumble. 8:31 left. He might have been on the field, but he doesn't get the ball or a target.
I think he was on the field because I was paying particular attention to him because of my already admitted gambling interest. But him not getting a touch sounds right.
He did not get a touch or a target. Not that he gets targets anyway. Yep. After his fumble, that probably didn't make him feel better.
Yep.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, at 803-0550, Baltimore, Kansas City on Sunday. Chiefs and Bills here on WGR, 1 o'clock kick. We'll be right back.
Saints and Bills.
What did I say, Chiefs?
Yep.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
Mm-hmm.
If the Chiefs did have to play both teams, would they beat either one? Saints, he's looking past it, folks. Saints and Bills, Sunday at 1. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How about that? Jackson Dart going in week 4 for the Giants. Well, they had to sign Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, and now they're both veteran backups behind the rookie from Ole Miss, right? Jackson Dart?
Righto.
Pretty good name.
Yep.
Good face, good name, right? The guy was
good face,
off
good
to a great
name,
start in life.
Good headband. He's got a good look.
A quarterback named Dart.
Yeah, as I recall, last year I felt like I liked him early, and then that you seem to keep remembering that and sort of nudging me to like suggesting that I really like Jackson Dart. I was like, I don't like him that much. And it turned out he ended up being a first round pick. So yeah, anyway, whatever.
It's funny how that happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
I drafted Travion Henderson in one big draft on a stream, and then I was the guy who loved Travion Henderson. And really, it was like close to the regular season. I was kind of ready for something a little bit unorthodox. And so far, not so good.
New.
For Henderson. Like, new. They haven't really used him yet. I don't think they – you always want to know this, you know, with drafts and with rookies, like what's going to happen. They got to be able to pass protect. And an old-school coach like that, he doesn't want the fumbles from the other guys either. Gibson fumbled in the game too.
Yeah.
So three-headed is not what you want when you're drafting a running back in fantasy, Henderson, with Stevenson and Gibson there. But long-term, he should be the play. Home to Carolina this week. Then they come here. Then they have the Saints and the Titans. Playable. And if they could have gotten, I'm not sad for them, but if they could have gotten one of the two losses.
Right, they'd be in pretty good shape.
They'd be looking pretty good at like 5-2 even maybe.
Yeah.
But not now. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, 803-0550, Baltimore and Kansas City this week. What do you like there? Ravens lose last night. Where are we at with Derrick Henry? I think that's a question after the last couple of weeks. I mean, he ran all over the Bills. If he doesn't do that, then maybe it's more of an obvious question, but he did.
Yeah. They are still down Ricard, and that matters to like how they want to play. I mean, I made this point when they were coming here for the opener. No Ricard, like that's kind of bread and butter stuff. Two-tongued ends, one of them a dangerous downfield guy, like in Likely. Not that Andrews can't get down the field, but Likely's the more dangerous player at this stage of their careers, I think. And Ricard is kind of a unicorn. There just aren't a lot of guys like him. They had a reserve tight end in that role when they played here. I didn't really notice what was going on last night, but getting him, assuming he's going to come back at some point. I mean, I feel like we were sweating both guys. Well, no, Ricard was ruled out pretty early, and Likely, I think we thought wasn't going to play, but they didn't rule him out until like the Friday before the game, I think, if I remember right.
And he's still not back.
And Ricard is still not back. So, you know, maybe that's still going to be a while, but those guys matter to them, I think. So before I'm ready to say Derrick Henry ain't got it no more, he hasn't played a snap with that 330-pound fullback yet.
Is that big?
That might change some things. Yeah, the guy's a giant. Mm. Did you see that Tampa signed? They are playing Philly this week, and they signed a guy who in college, now he went undrafted, and I think he was in camp in the summer. There's a former Florida defensive tackle that –
oh, that big guy.
Played college football. I don't have his name committed to memory.
Desmond Watson.
He played at like 460 pounds or something in college.
What position?
Defensive tackle.
Okay.
He is the rub that here puncher? is that he is the tush push antidote.
Ooh.
They're signing this guy this week. I think they practice squad, I think, is what they did. But, I mean, they can just elevate him. But he recently worked out. There was talk of him losing weight. I mean, I don't know how much, you know, where you go from 464 in college. Like, getting down to four bills would probably take some time, even with a Waken 180.
Listen, I know a program. Yeah, you said it.
So, I think... it's just funny that they did that this week, and everybody's making the same observation. Like, they're just going to put him in the middle there and try to stop the tush push.
Was he on another team?
No. So I'm saying he was in camp, maybe even, I don't know where he was, but I think he was in a camp. Zach, do you know?
He was in Tampa's camp.
Okay. He didn't make the team, but they had him back in for a workout, and they brought him back in.
And then after this game, he gets caught and right. Denver signs him because Philadelphia plays Denver next.
Right, right.
If it works,
right. Denver trades for him because Tampa will be like on the phone going, you want our guy, you're going to have to make it work for me.
Desmond Watson.
Right.
And a 2031 seventh for a 2037.
That'll work. Right.
You know who PFF's highest graded quarterback is through 3 weeks? I'll give you a hint. He's never won an MVP.
Is it Justin Herbert?
Sam Darnold.
Okay. Well, that's going a lot better, obviously, than I thought it would go in Seattle.
I have to agree to that. With that, yes. I just fell into the thinking that their line was supposed to be terrible.
Right, and he'll die.
And
back there.
He'll die.
Yeah.
But they won in Pittsburgh, and they destroyed the Bills' next opponent, New Orleans. So good start for him. PFF's highest-rated, top-rated quarterback through 3 weeks. Allen is the MVP favorite right now to go back-to-back. Just like the Super Bowl odds, Buffalo-Baltimore. MVP is Allen Jackson. Here we are again. They were talking on Bet Sweats about this morning, Sam and Joe. And one asked the other, is there anybody else in play here? Like, you know, they're looking for a good price.
Mm-hmm.
They're not trying to pick the winner,
right,
per se, but they're looking for a good price. There's Justin Herbert. We had Jordan Love, but that took a hit last week. They lose in Cleveland. Maybe Prescott was interesting before the season, or Brock Purdy. There's an injury to Purdy. Mm-hmm. Prescott loses Lamb. They've lost two games. Daniels gets hurt.
Burrow's out.
Burrow's dead. So is there anybody else? And Sam picked the right name, I think. I think there is someone else that could win. Well, maybe there's more than one guy that could win that has not yet been mentioned here, and that's Jalen Hurts. He's like, Sam is so good. He made a great point. He's like, how did they beat the Rams? Well, blocked field goal. Didn't hurt, but they did it through the air. Like, they came back in that game through the air, and he's a lock to score his rushing touchdowns,
mm-hmm,
unless Desmond Watson has something to say about it
right,
this week. But, I mean, Hurts, I don't think he's criminally underrated. You know, I don't think it's quite that. I definitely don't think he's overrated, though. And if they're going to win again, and they have to do it as most people predicted they would, with more passing volume,
mm-hmm,
this year, secondary is weaker. You know, is Barkley himself weaker? Like, there could be circumstances they didn't show up for the first 2 weeks, but they did on
Sunday.
But
if they still get great results, he'll get a lot of credit. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Like, there was a game where they got down 26-7. I think was the score at one point, Rams.
Mm-hmm.
And what do? He threw the ball to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Like, that's how they came back. And so that looks great on him. Because now, lately it had been, they just don't need him to throw. And, you know, people tend to say, well, that's good because he's not great at it.
Right.
He's the Super Bowl MVP. He's been twice. There's a lot of narrative when it comes
to
MVP.
And he was incredible in the losing effort.
Yes.
He had an incredible game.
He had two great games in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's right. So, I mean, Barkley didn't win them the Super Bowl. He was okay.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like he was that – it wasn't amazing or anything in that game. They just killed him. Really, on defense, they killed him. So, I feel like Hurts was like plus 1,800. But Allen could win. Like, if they're going to run away – and let me just give you one more idea here. If they're going to run away with it, the Bills, I won't get to – we're not going to have the 17-0 conversation today. That was yesterday. You know, it got weird. I'm not mm-hmm, going there. Although if they did.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right.
He could maybe cruise to the award. There's Herbert. There's even Daniel Jones, maybe, or mm-hmm, even Jonathan Taylor. I don't know. Probably not.
Get out of here with that.
Okay. Where it gets interesting.
Not Jones necessarily, but the running back, forget it.
Fine. I mean, Jones won't win because of Taylor.
Probably right.
Herbert doesn't have that obstacle.
Right.
And even Cook wasn't that.
I kind of like Herbert as an idea. Because ascending, right? He's been on the scene, but has never really graduated to the top tier, and they're throwing more, and if they unseat Kansas City, win 13 games or something, and he throws for 4,500 yards or whatever, like, that'll get pretty compelling pretty fast, I think, for him.
Yep. I think he looks the part so far.
Yeah, I would agree.
They beat the Chiefs, they beat the Broncos, and the three division wins, and the Raiders in between. They're not racking up huge points.
No.
But he looks great. So Herbert is in play. I think we're one more thing that could get interesting if the Bills do just sail through the season is McDermott. Because he's never been close to Coach of the Year. Maybe in his first year he was. I don't know. He's never won it.
Yeah.
And every year since Allen became Allen, McDermott's not even in the conversation for Coach of the Year, which you can debate. Like, you know, it's sort of strange that he's never even close to that award. Well, if they win all their games, or almost all their games, right, maybe it's a year. And if it's not clear cut somewhere else, like, who right now is the Coach of the
Year? I think that is what the kind of year it takes for a guy like him. Reed has obviously accomplished more with the Super Bowls, but for Reed to win Coach of the Year, they almost have to have last year, but with no blemish at all. You got to run the table because you're granted the gift, the advantage of having this incredible otherworldly quarterback on your team, and so you know that's going to ding the coach. It just is how it works. But if you put up a zero in the loss column, that changes everything. I think 15-2, 16-1, 17-0 are records that I think you can entertain Sean McDermott for Coach of the Year with. I think anything less than that is it's the same old, same old.
Right now, Steichen is the Coach of the Year.
That's right.
If the Coach of the Year is usually a coach who we thought their team was going to be bad, right, and they're actually good. Or McDonald in Seattle, although they do have a loss. I think those are top two right now.
I haven't looked at the odds, but I would agree with that assessment.
I don't know the odds. Don't tell me the odds.
I don't want to know.
Actually, do always tell me the odds. I'm not betting on this until you tell me. The Sabres play at home to Columbus tonight. We'll have pregame with Paul Hamilton coming up in less than 20 minutes. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WG.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.